Have you ever heard of bunny chow? Or cook sisters? Babuiti? Chicken tikka? These are all dishes that shaped my world as a child, just because of migration. Come with me, Erica von Kaschke, as we pass the cinnamon stick to people who have come to Australia. Listen to their migration stories, to what they bring to the land down under, and what they get from it. Welcome to The Cinnamon Stick. My name is Erica von Kaschke, your host. It gives me great pleasure to talk to my guest today, the Mayor of the City of Canning, Patrick Hall. Welcome, Mayor.
Hi, Erica. How are you? Hello, listeners.
I'm great. Thank you. It's such a beautiful city. As I was driving from Fremantle Way out to the City of Canning, I'm just in awe of all the parks and the lovely facilities that you've got here.
You told me you'd come in from the city of Coburn. It's beautiful out there. People don't realise the city of Canning is so close to the Perth CBD. We're almost an outer suburb of the Perth CBD. But more than that, we've got the Canning River and the Swan River both run through Canning. And the city of Canning is dissected by the Canning River. So we have the 22 kilometres of pristine river foreshore and the Canning River Regional Park, which is like just completely untouched as it would have looked 1,000 years ago in a lot of parts. It's beautiful. We're very fortunate.
Mayor, please tell us more about where you grew up and how your family settled in Perth, since this podcast is mainly for people that have settled in WA as well.
Well, I'm a migrant too. So all of us have had exactly the same journey, haven't we, Erica? I mean, I was born here, but my family settled in my great aunt, who is my grandfather's sister, settled in Shelley, I think about 1958 or 59. My parents moved to Shelley, which is a suburb of Canning, in 1963 when I was 10 months old. And currently I've got four generations of my family here, including three of my adult sons, my own parents in their 80s are still living here, pioneers of Canning, and a number of grandchildren. But our family came from England. From the Isle of Wight. So, you know, we're all migrants. Everybody that has come to Australia has come from somewhere else.
I always feel like it's really priceless, you know, just the generations in a suburb or in a place that you can really put down your roots and really invest in the place where you stay.
Oh, you can absolutely, but I often say to people, I mentioned off air that we do an awful lot of citizenship ceremonies here. But there's so much opportunity in our young country. We're such a young country, and there's so many opportunities for migrants to become involved in shaping our future. Because you know, our history is so embryonic at the moment. We're still creating it.
So, Mayor, what was the one piece of advice someone gave you that most shaped who you are today?
My mother told me as a child, never lie. I can't tell a lie. It's impossible. Honestly, I can't tell a lie. I'd rather get into trouble and tell the truth. And I joined the police force at a very young age. I became a police cadet at 17. So I've always had that integrity piece, probably my mum's words burning into the back of my head. But that has been something that's stayed with me. I think integrity is a really big piece of local government. I think there's so little of it in our world these days. I'm always a great admirer of people that act ethically, and I hope I do that.
So is it this sense of this moral compass or your ethics that made you run for mayor, or what prompted you?
A bit of everything. I'm like a lot of people. I just seem to have been, if I've ever been involved in the community, I've always taken a role on a committee. So I don't only get involved, but I get involved in the governance of I've been on the board of the Blue Gum Park Tennis Club. I was on the committee for the Canning Vale Football Club. When I lived in the country, I was the president of the basketball club, and I was involved in the PCYC. And so I coached junior football for 9 years, I think, out at Canning Vale while I was there. So I always find that if I'm going to be involved, or my children when they were younger were involved in a club, I just found it natural that I would try to help out if I could as a volunteer. And I think that's how a lot of people start. So it was a natural progression.
So what do you think is the best thing about the city of Canning and sets it apart from other local councils?
Well, the reason we're talking today really is about multiculturalism. And I think that really is one factor that sets us apart. We do have, look, we're not the only local government that has multiculturalism, but I think on the scale that we do, it kind of puts us in a unique position and gives us an advantage, I think. We're almost a melting pot of cultures and faiths. And I think in some, don't laugh at this, Erica, I often say to people, we're almost like the Noah's Ark of Western Australia here, where people come two by two from with different beliefs and different values from different places. But just like Noah's Ark, it all seems to work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We all get on. We're a melting pot, but that brings with it some real opportunities.
It does definitely bring some opportunities, and it's a real asset, I think, because people have to really start thinking outside the box if you get in a situation where you're not that familiar with what's happening for the other person. What type of culture or values are you promoting here to try and create in the city?
I think, and I've only been a mayor since the end of October, so I haven't been in the chair for a very long time, but what I'd like us to be is more of a can-do, say yes more often local government. I think sometimes local governments seem to have a wall built around them, but because I'm a resident, so I live outside of the local government bubble, I understand that that wall was actually built by local government, so it's up to us to actually dismantle it. So I'd like to see us working far more closely with our neighbours, with other local governments like Gosnells and South Perth and Vic Park, so that we can actually work collaboratively together and try to find some synergy in the way we work to the betterment of both communities, all communities, but also to find some efficiencies there. You know, we sometimes find that we have held an outdoor event, a concert series recently, that wasn't a great success, and found that it was actually held on the same night that a local government held a much bigger event, which was the largest on their calendar for the year. But because we don't talk, we didn't know. And if we had known, well, maybe we should have done a partnered event to halve the cost, because quite frankly, people that live in different municipalities do travel across those invisible borders. I mean, you wouldn't know where the border of Coburn is, and you shop and play and recreate in different areas.
Yeah.
It's only us in local government that know where those walls are built.
In the city of Canning, it seems to be very proactive when it comes to supporting people from a migrant or refugee background to set up and grow their own businesses. Can you talk us through this decision or the path that the city's taken?
It's been a very genuine and authentic journey, I think, and one driven by the opportunities that we see. So it's not about us helping migrants necessarily. It's about how migrants are actually helping us here in Canning. It's a two-way street, and I think we recognise the importance of both parties. So, we've got a very sound program that's been put in place. We do business mentoring. We hold a lot of seminars and conferences. We've got a team of staff here dedicated to assisting migrants to establish businesses here in Canning, and we've got more than 7,000 small businesses here. We're a powerhouse economy with industrial areas of Canning Vale and also Welshpool. So the city of Canning actually has two of the largest industrial estates in Western Australia right here in Canning. One in 20 of every job created in Western Australia is here right in Canning. So we are a major economy here, and we employ a lot of people. So we have a program. It's about our support stems from our business development strategy, which works under three key pillars, and they are access, influence, and knowledge. But it's about us helping businesses to support them about how we might influence them to create a business that's going to succeed. I guess our driving philosophy is we want to see every business succeed. Mm-hmm. So we'll do everything we can to assist, and that's how we can build some capacity in those small businesses.
And I guess if you do that, people will automatically advocate and say how well the council's doing. And it won't be like, there's the next election coming up and now people are kind of just trying to get stories. It will be such an organic process where people are actually so proud of living in the city of Canning. And I guess that's probably one of the ultimate aims, to really see that happen.
I'm also mindful too, Erica, that it's really hard for migrants when they come here with sometimes the language skills that they have or the lack of them to actually find employment. It's not to do with anything other than the fact that sometimes it's just really, really hard.
Yeah.
So often they will come to this country and use their, the finances they bought with them, or they've invested wisely, and they're able to actually buy themselves a future for themselves and their family. So we see our role there is to make sure those businesses succeed and to support them in every way that we can. And you're absolutely right. People talk, don't they? So the obverse of, having a wonderful experience is having a bad one. And that's where it comes into being a local government that says yes more often and is a bit more of a can-do. We want to actually get rid of the bureaucracy if we can, or at least simplify these processes and recognise that people from migrant backgrounds may have real difficulties with our Anglo-Saxon system here of filling out forms in English and all of the requirements that we have. How do we actually simplify that for people without diminishing the standard and the requirement at law? Mm-hmm. But that's where we come in. We can kind of get involved and help step people through the process.
That sounds fantastic. Just the accent can throw you sometimes, not even just the language itself. What are some of the success stories that you've seen through the whole business development?
Well, there's a lot. Like I said, we've got more than 7,000 small businesses here. Westfield Carousel, one of the largest shopping centres in Western Australia, is within a stone's throw of our office here where this interview is taking place. And so there's an awful lot of success stories there. But just locally, some of them are Wooden Form, a local joinery firm, which was established by Iranian migrant family. That's doing incredibly well. And they offer bespoke cabinetry design and building services. AgriFresh, one of WA's largest citrus exporters are here in Canning. And not forgetting too, we've got the Canning Vale markets here. So fresh produce, where the heart of fresh produce in Western Australia is right here in the city of Canning. And of course, more from the retail side of it, Specsavers at Carousel is owned by, Zimbabwean lady called Tracy Goromonzi. And she's established the very first audiology side of the business for Specsavers. Her innovation has actually assisted Specsavers find a new business model that they're starting to roll out. And she also owns another franchise or a part owner of a franchise here in Canning as well at Riverton Forum. So very clever lady, but, you know, some wonderful success stories. But we know that's just the tip of the iceberg. If we dug deeper, I'm sure we'd find an awful lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would encourage if anybody from the city of Canning listens to this and you have a story that you think would be good to tell, you're welcome to contact us. Contact the city of Canning and just let them hear your story, because this is the way that we build the future together. Mayor, networking is one of the most important ways for people to promote their businesses. And isolation is one of the hardest things to deal with as a migrant. Do you see business networking amongst people from a migrant or refugee background within this city occurring on a regular basis? And if so, what feedback are you receiving from them?
In my role, I haven't actually seen the feedback firsthand, but I know how important networking is. Yeah. Even this evening, we're hosting, we're partnering with the Hong Kong Business Association with a function here in the centre. But it's a way of actually bringing these different groups together to talk about business. My own background, I ran a large group of retail stores across Western Australia up until only a few years ago. I know how isolated people can become in business and how important it is for people to speak and talk and network with other businesses. Yeah. And you often learn more about your own business by talking to other businesses outside of your sector. Yeah. Sometimes the same philosophies in small business apply. So the City of Canning is invested heavily into business mentoring, which goes towards networking. We've partnered with the City of Stirling, and I attended a wonderful event late last year, the Kaleidoscope Project, which is really helping to connect people to business, because we have a lot of migrants that come here with wonderful skill sets, but they're not necessarily recognised here in Western Australia. So how do we actually bridge that gap, and how do we help those people to be recognised for the work they've got, for the skills that they have, and to match them with employers here in Western Australia? So it's not only about small business or large business or about business per se, it's about recognising the business skills of migrants and trying to perfect match them with employers here in WA. So we're working really, really hard because we have a responsibility to do so.
I always find it very interesting taking a taxi to the airport, since it's so close to your offices as well, because often you'll find that people that drive taxis or work at the petrol station have really great skills, and just to hear their stories, I think it's more interesting for me than for the taxi driver often.
I agree with that. I sometimes look at that though. You know, my view on that is, you know, as an Australian guy, and for those that can't see me, I'm a white Anglo-Saxon fella that was born here, but I always kind of have a bit of sadness with that when I hear their stories, because often you're being driven to the airport by an accountant or an engineer, or I just feel so desperately sad for them that they can't find employment here. I'm not diminishing taxi drivers, but I'm sure that's not really what they would choose to do in a perfect world, especially with, I think, pride is such a big thing, and to see people with those skill sets and those qualifications, you know, work service stations, working night shifts, and, you know, doing menial jobs. I just do feel genuinely sad. I've got a lot of compassion for them. Yeah. So how do we help?
Absolutely. I really take my hat off to them and go like, well, it shows you really want to do something. And I always try to encourage them and go like, well, what can you do? What steps can you take to get back to where doing the job you really want to do. WA and Perth in particular is growing fast. What do you think is the most important thing to keep in mind when planning development?
Listening, without any doubt. Yeah. Keep listening. So recognise that people have a view. I'm a representative of the whole of the city of Canning. But you know what, Erica? We've got almost 100,000 people here. So when we engage in consultation, and we often know that our consultation is sometimes limited, people don't like to step forward and get involved. And so we'll have a citywide initiative to learn what people feel. We may get 12 or 30 people respond. You know, it's up to us. It's our responsibility to actually get out there in the field and hear what people say. Yeah. I think that's the beauty of our democracy, is you've got 11 representatives like me. So there's a mayor and 10 other councillors. And we are at the grassroots level of the community. I'm attending functions and some of the other councillors regularly, where we hear feedback on the ground from people and we hear those real stories. And often they don't know that we're councillors. We're just sitting quietly engaged in a conversation, but we're listening intently to what people are saying. So yeah, I would say that all of our planning, strategic or not, long-term, short-term, everything hinges on our ability to actually listen to what's being said and then respectfully paying homage to what people feel and coming up with solutions that make our lives better. Because after all, isn't our role here at local government just to try and improve and enhance the way people live? That's it. It's pretty simple, isn't it? That's it.
You know, that sounds brilliant. So, Mayor, I always end my podcast with two similar questions, but I've changed it a little bit for you, just because normally I ask, what word or phrase did you bring from where you've come from? Which Australian word or phrase do you embrace, or something that keeps you grounded or on track?
That's an easy one. She'll be right. Yeah, I'd say, look, she'll be right. I think we worry about everything in our lives these days, don't we? We worry about everything. You know, we see so much written about mental health and people suffering from anxiety and depression. And I think we sweat the small stuff. So I think if there's one phrase in Australian culture that we can probably pick up and run with, for me personally, it'd be, she'll be right. My background was in policing. I've seen an awful lot of stuff in my life. I know what a real drama is. And most of the stuff we deal with in our day-to-day lives is really not as important as we sometimes feel it is. Don't worry about it. She'll be right.
That is actually the term I've embraced when I arrived, because South African culture can be a bit intense sometimes. So I thought, that's good. I'll remember that. She'll be all right, mate. So the last question is, I'm not sure if somebody has shared a word or a phrase in their language which you have found inspiring. If yes, would you mind sharing that experience with us?
No, I can't remember. I have. But I'll tell you a funny story. I went to, last weekend, I went to the local, to a Chinese gathering for Chinese New Year. And I thought that what I would do is I was asked to speak, and I would work out how to say Happy New Year in Mandarin. And I thought that would be a wonderful touch. Yes. And I practiced and practiced. Don't ask me to say it, Erica. I've completely forgotten. But what happened was, the speaker before me had done exactly the same thing. But not only did he actually remember how to do that, he spoke for like 2 minutes in Mandarin, and he actually had this huge greeting that he'd memorized, completely deflated me. So I threw my Happy New Year went right out the window, and I just gave up. So I didn't actually do it.
But I haven't told this story though.
No, I haven't. It's the first time I've said it. I'm so deflated. So I think I need to actually either make sure I speak first next time, or work a little bit harder on my language skills. But no, I'm only new on this journey. So I only started as mayor in late October, as I said. Yeah. So I'm hoping to really immerse myself in the local community. I'm hoping to pick it. Next time we speak, Erica, I'll have a phrase for you for sure, undoubtedly.
That sounds brilliant. I think next time you could just tell your story. That would have been such a good icebreaker.
That's a story.
So thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are, and we really appreciate it. So that's it for this installment of the Cinnamon Stick. Keep the flavour going. Until next time.